What a privilege it is that together we can look into the Word of God, for there we have God speaking to us. We were going through Jeremiah, and we got to Jeremiah 31, and God began to talk about the covenant, that a covenant He would make. And in order to get some groundwork in that, we went back to Genesis 17. When we got into Genesis 17, we began to find some very, very curious things, very interesting things. As God is talking about Ishmael in verse 20, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard him. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." A great nation. Well, there's a lot of great nations. Babylon was a great nation, wasn't it? China was a great nation, wasn't it? Well, you know, we have to follow the Bible. And when we go through the Bible, and this is really something, when we go through the Bible, we find that phrase, great nation or great nations, sometimes a couple of times it's singular, but most of the time, or a couple of times it's plural, but most of the time it's singular. But in every place except one, and I think that that also is talking exactly the same thing, in every place except with one possible exception, it is always talking about the kingdom of God. Always talking about the kingdom of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. And there we read, "Keep therefore," God is talking to Israel now, through Moses, "keep therefore," and let me start with verse 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation," same two words, "this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation great," same two words, "who God is nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things we call upon him for." And what nation great? You notice, is italicized. I'm just reading the Hebrew words. "And what nation great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?" It's definitely talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. For example, if we go to Jeremiah, where we read in chapter 50, verse 9, "For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man, or none shall return in vain, and Chaldeans shall be a plunder. All that plunder her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord." And that's speaking about God coming in judgment on the last day, an assembly of great nations. Again, it's the kingdom of God. And this term, great nations, is found about 8 times in the Bible, and these are the kind of verses we find them in. And so when it is talking about Ishmael becoming a great nation, we have a lot of evidence that God has a great and wonderful plan for the nation of Ishmael. And when we looked at Isaiah 60, we saw that he speaks very directly to that, that the Ishmaelites, the two sons, Nebaioth and Kedar, their rams and their sheep, their flocks, will be coming, as God is talking about, the great multitude that would be coming in. You know, for years and years and years, I have puzzled. The Bible tells us that Ishmael died at the age of 137. Now, that's a very unusual citation. We know that the Bible tells us the age of the death of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. We know, and those all mainly have something to do with the chronology of the Bible. It helps us to fit the chronology together. We know, for example, that there are two exceptions. One is Joseph. His death age is given twice at 110. And Joshua, his death age is given at 110. And neither of these men have anything to do with the chronology of the Bible or the developing the calendar of the Bible. Why does God say that they died at the age of 110? What is the number 11? 11 times 10. What does 11 point to? Because both Joseph and Joshua were great types of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just can't find more wonderful pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ unless it's David himself. As a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that death age of 110, God is saying, look forward now to 11,000 years of history. What do you see? You see all the fulfillment of all the activities that I have developed prophecies that will be worked out as I have used these two men as illustrations of the salvation program. But here is Ishmael. He's 137. The other curious thing is that when we read about the death of Sarah, how old was she? She was 127. 127. Similar to 137, but not the same. And then when we look at the death of Jacob, how old was he? He was 147. Isn't that curious that these relatives that are so tightly bound together, Sarah, Ishmael, and Jacob, 127, 137, 147. What's going on? What is going on? Well, we break the ice open when we look at Jacob. Because how did God divide the lifespan of Jacob into what two very significant parts? How old was Jacob when he came into Egypt? 130. And how long did he spend in Egypt? 17 years. In other words, God broke the number 147 down into two important numbers, 130 and 17. And when we look at the life of Jacob, we think of him immediately in that 17 years as a picture of the, because he came under the care and keeping of Joseph. He was no longer in any trauma of any kind. And that focuses on the final 17 years of the history of the world. Well, let's break down Sarah's number. 110 plus 17. Again, that number 17, for the same reason we got it out of Jacob's number. What does 110 focus on? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When were all the prophecies fulfilled concerning Abraham and Sarah? When did they all coalesce? When did they all come to fruition? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, we are seeing that the number, and when do they finally come to the full fruition? In the final 17 years, as God is bringing about the final ingathering. Well, and also the 127, incidentally, does tie in with King Ahasuerus, that he ruled over 127 provinces in the book of Esther. And so it's also emphasizing the worldwide reign of the kingdom of God, because Sarah is a picture of the mother of us all, you know, which is the kingdom of God, as we read in Galatians chapter 4. But now we get to Ishmael. Let's break 17 out of 137. What do you get? 120 plus 17. Well, 120 is 10 times 12. That's complete fullness of whatever is in view. And when does God really emphasize the complete fullness of something? He does it by the number 144,000, which is 10 times 12, there with one more 12 added on to it, that he speaks about in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. And again, you have a break. When the complete fullness, the 10 times 12, the 120 goes past, you got 17 years left. Then what happens? The rams of Nebaioth and of Kedar are coming in great droves because the gospel is coming in from all over the world. In other words, God today has a huge program for those who want to claim some identification with Abraham through Ishmael. Ishmael is, and you know, when I think of this, I think, well, I was asked a question a long time ago, and I've hesitated to answer. Now I'm going to answer it. Do the Mohammedans serve the same God that the Christians do? You know, they serve Allah. Do you know that the Aramaic name for God, and it's employed many times or throughout the book of Ezra and about half the time in the book of Daniel, the Aramaic name is Allah. It's pronounced a little different, but the letters are Allah. And you know those valve points that if you're ever looking at a Hebrew word, you see valve points? They were put in about 600 A.D. or 500 A.D. They are not inspired. You just look at the Hebrew letters or the Aramaic letters, and it's Allah. The Hebrew name that God uses for God is Elohim or Elohim, and it is Allah pluralized, whereas Allah is singular. But God does use the name Allah wherever it comes in the Aramaic as the name for God, no question at all. So if you ask me the question, do they serve the same God as we? They serve Allah. We serve Allah. The Bible tells us that. The difference is that they serve Allah through Muhammad. We serve Allah through Christ. But what they don't realize is that in our day, God has something wonderful for those who believe they want to go, get to Abraham through Ishmael, if they're identified in that way at all. It is written right in the Bible that the descendants of Ishmael will come in great droves into the kingdom of God, Isaiah chapter 60, and that God has that God would make of the descendants of Ishmael a great nation. We read that here in Genesis chapter 17. So the Mohammedans of the world really are on the threshold of something great and wonderful if they'll start learning what the Bible has to say about Ishmael and about themselves. And if they will begin to recognize that God anticipated this day that the Mohammedans, and they are a picture of anybody who's far off spiritually, they would have to be a picture of anyone who's far off. There is a great multitude which no man can number that are coming in. Now, As I give this message, I'm sure that a lot of Christians are saying, oh, brother, he finally flipped. He's finally gone off his rocker. But I'm telling you, this is information right out of the Bible. We can't turn away from this language. And God has said this. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I will bless you. He not only said it in one place, He repeated it again in Genesis chapter 21 in verse 18. Hagar is been cast out from Abraham's tent, and she's out in the wilderness, and then Hagar's crying, and God says to her in verse 17, "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And as we were reading Genesis 17, remember we read there, and let me emphasize this again, verse 20, Genesis 17, verse 20, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold," and what was Abraham's prayer? Oh, verse 18, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." In other words, "Oh, that Ishmael might be thy child." Isn't it interesting? It took 44,000 years before Ishmael is really becoming the child of God, but the promise is being fulfilled. Abraham was told, "As for Ishmael," in verse 20, "I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." That is, I will make him also an integral part of the kingdom of God. Because we looked at that word, great nation, and saw how God uses those two words, great nation, in talking about the kingdom of God. God has a big program for the descendants of Ishmael. "I will make of thee a great nation." And they are not excluded. Now, he says something different about Esau. You know, Esau, he says, "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated." And he still uses Esau as a picture of all those who remain in the churches and who obstinately will not come out, and God has given them up to their obstinate stance, and God is in fact encouraging that by giving them a strong delusion. That's Edom. That's Esau. That goes right to the very end. We don't read about that about Ishmael. When we look at the very end, we see glory, glory, glory. Something glorious is going to happen. All I can do is say, this is what the Bible says, that the flocks of the son of Ishmael will be coming in great numbers, and the rams of Nebaioth will be coming in. That is the absolute declaration of God. And he has told Ishmael, "You're going to be a great nation." And everything in the Bible points to the phrase "great nation" as identifying with the kingdom of God. It is astonishing information that I never suspected would ever flow out of the Bible. And yet, here it is. We've seen it in the death age of Ishmael. We've seen it in the language of Ishmael. We've seen it in the prophecy of the great multitude that would become saved in our day. So we're not building something just on a little tiny verse someplace. We have broad evidence for this, broad foundation. We have come to that time when I have to say goodbye to you for this study because of the end of our time period for this study. Again, we trust that you will be reading the book of Jeremiah yourself to try to learn as much as you can from this study what God's will is for our lives, because this study obviously is not just something that is an academic ivory tower kind of a presentation, but it is something that is the meat and potatoes of everyday spiritual life. And so please avail yourself of being able to look at the Bible again and again.